Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
Thank you for downloading Beer Nuts for free on iTunes or from ChristopherMedia.net. Please make sure to rate Beer Nuts 5 stars on iTunes and help to tell others about Beer Nuts by leaving a comment. Thank you for following Beer Nuts on Twitter at Beer Nuts Podcast and on Instagram at Beer Nuts Podcast. Please like the Beer Nuts Podcast on Facebook to like and share Beer Nuts. If you'd like to donate to Beer Nuts, you can click on the PayPal button at ChristopherMedia.net. If you use Amazon.com, please click and bookmark the Amazon link at ChristopherMedia.net. It will not cost you any extra money, and you will help to support Beer Nuts. If you're looking to launch your own website, please click through the HostGator banner at ChristopherMedia.net. Christopher Media uses HostGator to host all of the shows produced by the Christopher Media Network. When you click through the HostGator banner at ChristopherMedia.net and sign up for HostGator, you are helping to support Beer Nuts. TheBroBasket.com. Guys are tired of all those boring socks and ties. BroBasket is the answer to the age-old question, what do I get a guy? We know that choosing the perfect gift for a man is a difficult task, but not anymore. TheBroBasket.com is here to help. We all know men are hard to shop for, but what do guys actually like? Their favorite alcohol, that's what. It could be craft beer, wine, whiskey, scotch, or tequila. TheBroBasket.com will put it in a gift basket full of their favorite gear and goodies. You can customize your own BroBasket or choose from a variety of different BroBaskets, like the Ultimate Import Sampler, the Jack and Coke gift set, or the Junior Executive gift basket. Boozeless but still cool BroBaskets are also available. TheBroBasket.com gives you many shipping options to choose from, including rush delivery, and Saturdays. 21 and over, please. State and local laws apply. Beer, wine, and liquor are not available for shipping in all states. You can help to support Christopher Media by clicking through the BroBasket.com banner at ChristopherMedia.net. Alcohol gift baskets. What men really want. Men used to be hard to shop for. TheBroBasket.com.
Christopher Media. Let's make some noise.
Welcome to Beer Nuts, a weekly excursion into the world of craft beer. Brought to you by MichiganBeerGuide.com. And now, here are the Beer Nuts.
Welcome to another episode of Beer Nuts. My name is Chris. With me from MichiganBeerGuide.com is JR.
Yo.
Dugout.
Hey, how are you?
JR, we have a guest today, and we're going to let you handle introducing him.
Well, yeah, we're very fortunate tonight to have a guest on the show, Nate Peck from Beer Church Brewing. He's the head brewer of a new brewery that'll be opening up soon in New Buffalo, Michigan. So welcome, Nate.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, well, welcome, Nate.
It's a real treat to have you on. And we're going to taste a beer in Nate's past, and he's going to tell us all about the exciting things coming up in the future with Beer Church Brewing. So before we start that, we're going to start the show off with our traditional beer quote of the week. So before we start the show, we're going to start out with our traditional beer quote of the week, and we're going to turn it over to Chris for that.
From Mr. Earl Dibbles Jr. If I saved all the money I spent on beer, I'd spend it on beer. I mean, fair quote.
Truth to that.
Yep.
Because it's exactly what I would do, too.
Yeah.
Exactly
So guys, we're taking another beercation this week. Where are we going?
We are going to Southwest Michigan.
Oh, we're staying in the Mitten. All right.
Some great things happening out that way. I know Dugout gets to travel for his job frequently to that area of the state. And I think he's going to kick it off with something from Greenbush, if I'm not mistaken. So Dugout?
Well, all right. I'm really kind of thrilled to be doing an episode on Southwest Michigan. It's a place near and dear to my heart. It's somewhere that I vacationed and traveled to as a kid, even as a teenager. Warren Dunes was always a hot spot for us. We used to just love to go there and, you know, pack 10 teenagers in a car, drive up from south side of Chicago. So I'm loving that we're doing this episode, but even more, I'm loving the beers and the breweries that we have in this episode. The first one is in Sawyer, Michigan, which that is where what I mentioned before, Warren Dunes is located. Exit 12 off of I-94 for those of you driving through. And that brewery has taken over almost the whole downtown and will continue to do so. Pretty much the whole town will just be called Greenbush. At least the downtown area will. What I have from them is Cabra Perdida. It is a blueberry imperial cream stout. Bottle says ale brewed with blueberries. It's coming in at a stealth 11.2%. I've had this beer before. We may have reviewed this beer before, but it doesn't matter because it's our show. We can do what we want, right, guys?
Amen.
Damn right.
And it's all about good beer. So first thing I noticed is this thing pours. It's got a... You can't see through this. It is just solid motor oil, black as tar. There's kind of a nice thin head to it, but a beer that this heavy is probably not going to hold much of a thick foamy head, which it does not. First sniff off the old noggin is man, I get fruit and I get blueberries, but I get like sort of black malt, sweet, and blueberries. It's not just a blueberry smell. It's quite intriguing, actually. And my first sip is a wow. There's a lot going on with this beer. It's got a nice bitterness, but it's the fruit is in the middle. It's not fruit forward. So the first thing you don't get a blast of sweet blueberry when you drink it. You get kind of this is a thick, heavy, chewy stout, and then you start to get the flavors of the blueberry in it. Just kind of a nice hot bitterness to, which is when I'm drinking fruit beers, I sort of like that bitterness to offset the sweet. Even though the malt adds some sweetness too, but that those blueberries just sort of this all fits into a beautiful pattern. Now you guys have this stuff too, right?
Yeah, I've got some, and what I would say, what I really enjoy about this is the mouthfeel of it. It's nice and creamy, and it's very, very well balanced. As you said, it's not too sweet, not too bitter, not too fruity. It's just right. It's just where it needs to be. It's a delightful beer. The blueberries are there, but they're not overwhelmingly sweet or cloying. It's a wonderful beer that I've always enjoyed from the first time I had one. And every time they have a Michigan Beer Festival, I seek this out. They also have a really good bourbon barrel aged version of this, if you can get it, because it's pretty rare to get.
Well, and for those listening, I don't believe it's been released as far as this year goes yet, and should be coming up pretty soon. I believe they do that one fairly close to Christmas, maybe included in their what's their case called? They got a cool thing that they do.
Oh, the Advent calendar.
The Advent calendar. That's it. Thank you. And in the Advent calendar, they put 24 beers, or is it 12 and 2? There's 24 beers in the case, but is there 24 different beers, or is it 2
actually,
of 12?
Yeah, there's actually 25, because Christmas they give you a special bottle in a like a little flannel sack, which is really nice. That's like the grand finale on Christmas Day. You open that one.
Oh.
It's really a pretty cool thing if no one's ever purchased one. I believe you have to go get it from the brewery yourself.
Yeah, you can order it online, but you can order it online, but you have and pay for it, but you have to physically pick it up.
But it was I bought one a couple years ago, and it was really fun every day to see what that day's beer was, and there were some real gems in there too. So pretty cool idea. But
as far as we bring up a little bit of beercation. Southwest Michigan is a beach town, a beach area. Lake Michigan's right there. Some beautiful sand dunes and beautiful beaches. It's come a long way in the brewing world. There's quite a few breweries down there. We'll mention a bunch of them throughout the course of the show. But what's interesting is the way that Greenbush has sort of, and I sort of alluded to this earlier, is sort of there's a little downtown area. It looked very sleepy, maybe a grocery store and a hardware store, and now both sides of the street are Greenbush Brewing. They have an annex where you can buy growlers, and they have a cheese shop and a charcuterie where they have their own meats, merchandise, extra space on the patio to sit out and enjoy a pint. It's well worth a stop. I highly encourage anybody that's in the area to go out there and check the place out. Always a whole lot of beers on tap, and these guys are innovation. To the nines, really. I remember a beer festival where they did all the cereal beers, right? Or no, that was Kunin.
No, they did all the ice cream flavors.
They did all the 31 ice cream flavors. That's right. Sorry, brain fart.
That was ingenious, and I remember going there, and there was only a few flavors left when I showed up, but they happened to break out the barrel-aged Cabra Perdida, so even though I missed out on the ice cream, I think I even got a better beer than I was expecting.
But yeah, this particular beer, I mean, even if there weren't bourbon barrel-aged, I think this is my favorite one that they do. I'm always a little hesitant on fruit beers, but I think people are getting better at doing fruit beers. I still can't get over that raspberry hump. Most of it tastes like cough medicine to me. A lot of blueberry beers taste like cough medicine, and they have a very artificial flavor, but these guys use enough of, and that is blueberry land too, for anybody that's not familiar with that part of Michigan. There is quite a few blueberry farms. That was one of the other things we used to do when I was a kid, was go to Southwest Michigan. Mom would help put us all in a car, and we'd go out with these styrofoam coolers and pick as many blueberries as you could. We'd eat probably half of what we picked, and then spend the rest of the day in the bathroom the next day. But, you know, Mom had a great way of using lots of blueberries and cooking with them. So, anyway, back to the show. I'm glad to see somebody else taking the lead and putting the blueberries in the beer.
Yeah, one thing I'd like to ask Nate, since we actually have a professional brewer on the show, is can you tell us some of the challenges of brewing with fruit and why it's so difficult to get to nail that?
Usually it's from a sanitation standpoint. You know, a lot of brewers will use extracts. I know that a lot of them currently out there, and that's where you get that medicinal or cough syrup flavor, is from using extracts. So a lot of guys will just shy away from using real fruit. So then if you do choose to use real fruit, you know, it's highly dependent on where you use it in the process. And you can mash them, you can boil them, you can put them into primary fermentation. But again, that's a sanitation issue, and it's how much you want to add. I mean, you know, blueberries can be pretty expensive. Luckily, being in Southwest Michigan, we're in the fruit belt down here, so we get a lot of blueberries, peaches, strawberries, you name it. So we get fruit for pretty cheap, and that's probably a good reason that transients using a lot of fruit, green bushes, they can get a lot of high-quality fruit for a really good price, and fresh fruit at that. So I think that tends to help.
Well, and that's all locally sourced. Obviously, that plays into the price, and I'm sure they have things put in with the growers, and, you know, we're going to buy X amount from you. It's a beautiful situation for the growers and the brewers at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. It gives them a little bit of certainty that they're going to sell a certain amount. You know, it's not going to go to waste or anything like that. So, you know, it's kind of one hand washes the other, and then usually there's some cross promotion. You can mention the farm and things like that. And I think anytime you can use local farm fresh ingredients, it certainly is a plus, and it definitely adds to the flavor profile in the end.
Well, speaking of mentioning the farm, I'm looking on Greenbush's website, and it says, "We have you covered with a blueberry imperial cream stout brewed with hundreds of pounds of berries from Rambo Blueberries in Bridgman, Michigan." So you hit the nail on the head, Nate.
There you go. I have my moments.
All right. Any other comments on Greenbush? Anybody?
Well, just get out there and try their beers. When you see them, get them. I don't think they make bad beers. Their beers are not always true to style. They make some different off-the-cuff types of things, but generally, it's all really good. Really, really good.
And you can always tell at the beer festival.
Just a side note, I had an IPA done with Jolly Rancher candies at the brew pub, and it was just off the charts. It was so good.
That sounds good. Like, as I was saying, the lines for Greenbush are among the longest at the Michigan Brewers Guild festivals. So that tells you that they're doing something right.
You guys have built this brewery up so much, man. If I ever see one of their beers, I'm going to just run and grab them.
Well, Christopher, they're all over Michigan, so you should have no problem finding Greenbush at all.
I'm not looking hard enough is what you're saying. Gotcha.
Well, you're not looking at it, and that's half the battle, you know, knowing the name, because you can go look at a cooler, and if you don't know what it is, your eyes will scan right over it. And every day that landscape's changing, almost every week. It just is mind-boggling sometimes to walk into your local and see how much has changed if you haven't been in for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, I got a cousin who is in the liquor business. He works for a liquor distributor. And he said right now, he's like the last few years, he says it's just they're selling more craft beer than they are liquor, which that's kind of mind-boggling when you think about it.
Okay.
It sort of bucks the overall trends. You know, the overall trends say wine and liquor up, beer sales flat. But, you know, I think what's happening is craft beer is just on fire. You know, how many cases of Miller Lite are lost to that six-pack of craft beer? You know, you start to do the math, you can see where numbers and cases and volume fall off, but numbers and quality go up.
All right, well, Nate had mentioned Bridgman, Michigan. I think we're going to head that way. I've got a beer from Transien here that I'd like to share with everybody. So we actually never invited our listeners. We've kind of been rude tonight. So whatever you're drinking, crack it open and have a beer with us, whether it's a Coors Light or a Transien Obligatory, which I'm about to pop open, or a Founders Ridiculous or whatever you're drinking. So cheers, everybody. Drink up. So I just opened a Obligatory American Pale Ale, which I believe is brewery only from Transien. Transien's the new kid on the block in Bridgman, but they've made quite a splash craft beer scene in Southwest Michigan and become very popular very quick, and they're turning out some excellent beers. This particular beer is kind of reminds me of the little bit of the New England Treehouse Trillium type beers. It's an American IPA at 6.5% ABV, and it pours hazy as those beers do. It's hazy and hoppy, but about a one finger head on this. Nice level of carbonation. And without further ado, it's a nice straw golden, but very hazy. Cannot see through this at all. And that's kind of the new fad in IPAs, the New England style. So first thing I notice is a really, really pungent tropical fruit hop aroma. Smells really good. As soon as I smell it, I can't wait to drink it because it smells very very nice and fruity and hoppy. So I'm going to take a sip. I'm going to take another one because it's delicious. And I'm getting, like I said, the tropical fruits on the orange, mango, even maybe a little guava in there. Very delightful. Maybe a little pineapple. But yeah, it does remind me of the New England IPAs. And it's fresh, hoppy. And really a fantastic beer. I don't know if anyone else has had one of these. Dugout, have you had one of these?
I have not. I mean, unfortunately, when I drive through town, and that's Bridgman, they're not open. They have sort of late week hours, I believe. They're Wednesday through Saturday or Wednesday through Sunday. And I'm always in that part of town on a Tuesday. So I did actually hit them once when they were open, which is the beer that I have, but no, I haven't. And apparently they sell out of their beers very rapidly. So it's a crapshoot. I mean, you go and you get what you can and buy it and be happy with it, but not everything's available all the time.
Well, I am very fortunate that I had somebody out in that neck of the woods that picked me up a 4-pack of this, and I have one left after this, and boy, I'll tell you, I've been hoarding it, but you might as well drink it while it's fresh. It's not going to get any better, and it's still drinking very, very well, and very enjoyable. I know there's a little bit of some people really like the New England style IPAs. Other people prefer the West Coast, which is a more piney and a clearer version. But as for me, give me this all day long. It's a real treat to drink. So if you find yourself out that way, keep a follow these guys on social media, find out when they're releasing what, and if you're fortunate enough to time it right, if you can get, there's several other, fresh IPAs that they turn out in cans, and if you're fortunate enough, if they're releasing something, go grab it while you can, because they've taken Yeah, they're relatively new, but they're well known already, and they're doing great things out there. And that's great for the town of Bridgman, because there's another brewery close to our heart and close to Nate's heart called Tapestry that's out there too. So now you can go there and hit both breweries on the same street.
Yeah, they are directly right across the street from each other. You can throw a rock, sit at one, and throw a rock at the other guy who's sitting at the other brewery.
That's correct. And Haymarket is actually coming into Bridgman as well with a production facility out of Chicago. So there'll be three breweries in Bridgman.
And I don't know if anyone's had any Haymarket, but they do awesome things.
I haven't had any, so I'm really looking forward to that. I'm looking on Transient's website, and they do a lot of other really cool, there's a blackberry saison here called Blackberry Stilt Saison. They make a Brett Pale Ale called Wayward, a cranberry, I'm not sure how you pronounce this, is it Maigre? That's a sour wheat beer fermented with our saison blend and aged on cranberries. There's a Gosa called Solarium. Nitro Buckley, I know, is fantastic. That's an Imperial Breakfast Stout at 14%. So there's a few more on here, but all these beers just sound wonderful. I've only had a couple of them, but I know that that's going to be a mandatory stop. Well, Bridgman will be a mandatory stop anytime I'm in that area of the state.
Well, and I've got a Transient beer open as well. Unless anybody else wants to jump in here real quick.
Oh, please tell us about it.
All right. So I want to preface this with the beer I had that I got from them, and it was buried in a corner like somebody was trying to hide it. And I went over and grabbed a bottle of it, and it was a beet wild ale. So wild ale brewed with beets. I'm a huge beet fan, and I had to have it. And boy, what a beautiful beer that was. It was really earthy and with the wild funk and the sourness. It is just a beautiful drink. What I have in front of me right now is it's just listed as hop drink, and it's called a Farmhouse Double IPA. It's at 8%. And I opened it before we started the show, and we had to delay the start of the show because as wild ales go, this one was wild. And got most of it. I was able to sop up with some towels and stuff, so we're all good to go there. So it was pretty high carbonation off the top. I mean, it's pretty hazy, much like what you were drinking there, John, JR, but more in the line of a saison. And obviously the head is huge on this thing. It's calmed down quite a bit since I've had it open for a few minutes. And boy, I'll tell you, the first taste off it is it's very peppery, very much like a saison would be, but the hop bite starts to kick in a little bit. It's a different kind of beer, and I guess this isn't the first hoppy wild beer I've had before, or hoppy Brett beer, and I'm adjusting to it. It's really not. I just kind of get the thing that, or the feeling that there's just too much going on between this and the hops. That's my honest opinion on it. Everybody else has different taste buds, but it drinks beautifully. But I just think personally the hop could have been toned down a little bit, and I'd have been much happier drinking this beer.
What's the name of this one?
This is called Hop Drink.
Hop drink. Okay, I don't see that on their website. I was hoping I could get a... Well, any more comments?
I mean, I'm going to finish this bottle just like I did the last one.
Oh, of course. That's
we reviewed something similar to this beer. I believe it was from Upland when we were doing an Indiana episode. And it was sort of that same premise where they were sort of hybriding a farmhouse with an IPA. And I don't know that it's... Maybe it sounds good in theory. I don't know. It's just not grabbing me the way an IPA would or a farmhouse would.
Well, as you say, there are different strokes for different folks. There's probably some people out there that revere this beer, and it may not agree with your profile, your taste, your flavor profile, and there's nothing wrong with that. Because as we always say, there's no right or wrong with beer. It's what you like, and everybody has different wheelhouses. But I can tell you that this obligatory is right up my wheelhouse.
I'm jealous.
It's brewed with Columbus and Citra hops. So there's where you get that that nice fruity, you know, tropical fruit, grapefruit, Citra. Definitely some citrus in this. So, I'm really enjoying mine. That's all I can say. So I guess maybe it's time to go across the street then. So let's go across the street in Bridgman to Tapestry. Always been one of my favorite breweries, and it's kind of how I met Nate when Nate used to brew there. Nate, you want to give us some background on how you started with Tapestry and going to Peck's Porter?
Yeah, I can do that. So I had been brewing in Wisconsin at Sand Creek Brewing. I was there for about 4.5 years. Started as a regular brewer, worked my way up to lead brewer, and then decided that I wanted to kind of see if I could make it, do my own recipes, and be able to manage a brew house on my own. So I started, you know, looking around and seeing where in the U.S. there were opportunities, and had a lot of job offers all over. Luckily, I was able to end up in Michigan and not be too far away from Wisconsin, where I was born and raised. And Tapestry offered me the job as the head brewer there, and I ended up going there. And then PAX, I believe, was one of the first 4 or 5 beers that we had brewed there. We were looking to do something a little bit different because there's a lot of American porters out there, and there are some British porters, but usually by the time they get here, they're very old. And if you ever had a really fresh English porter, quite a bit different and quite a bit refreshing. I really enjoyed it. So that is a traditional English porter. It's all English ingredients with the malt, the hops. Actually modify the water profile to be that of the London water profile. And the yeast strain is actually the Fuller's yeast strain as well.
Okay, so we are tasting Peck's Porter from Tapestry, and this is Nate's original recipe when he was the brewer there. I believe it was the bronze medal from the GA, the Great American Beer Festival, in what, 2014?
Yes, 15. That's correct. Somewhere in there.
So, congratulations on that. That's certainly a great honor to have your beer medal at prestigious event, which happens to be taking place as we record this in Denver. So, I think Dugout and I both have this, so we're going to take a sip. Why don't you take it away, Doug, and review the beer?
Well, yeah, I'm happy to. This is a style that I absolutely love. I know we've done some, being that sort of a craft beer show, we've sort of pulled in some original styles from the UK before, and I believe we did Fuller's London Porter, which would be sort of like a benchmark porter if you think of English porter. But I gotta go with what Nate was talking about. It's the freshness of it that is just mind-blowing. It's the smell off of it, the nose is pure roasted malt. It's got a beautiful head on it. I actually found the last 4-pack in my local grocery store wasn't carrying it. They were out of it, so I was lucky to even find this one. The flavor is a beautiful roasted malt. I mean, it's a well-balanced beer, and when I drink a beer like that, I think, man, why don't I drink more porters? And it's probably because people aren't taking the care to do what Tapestry has done, to emulate the water, to take all these English ingredients. So many people are trying to put their own twist on a porter, but sometimes it's just better left the way it was. That's what everybody liked about it. That's why style's still around. I think A+ on this. This is awesome.
Amen. I remember when we did the porter episode that we were all amazed at how good the Fuller's London Porter was. It gets 100 on Rate Beer. And Uncle Pete was on that episode, if you recall, and all of us just raved about how good it was. And it was just one of these beers that you know, overlook on the shelf every time you purchase beer. And it kind of woke us up to what a great beer that is. And you take this, which, the one flaw of the Fuller's, it would only be not their fault, but the time it takes to ship and the age that probably is on it by the time it hits a U.S. shelf. Well, now you got Pex Porter, which is a beer in the same wheelhouse that that can be obtained fresh. And it's a delightful beer. I think what happens with the darker beers, everybody gets enamored with Imperial Stouts, and that's all they look at, and it's got to be a stout. And then Porter's kind of the forgotten redhead's stepchild, and when you do a Porter and you do it right like this, it'll hold up against any stout. And this is a champion, a medal winner, and I got to congratulate you again. Hats off, Nate. This is one of the best porters I've ever had.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's really an outstanding beer. And don't get us wrong, we're not trying to put it up against Fuller's. There's certainly a lot of other London porters we could bring up, but it was one that we had actually reviewed on the show, and we were just blown away by how good it was and what a great style it was. It's a style near and dear to my heart. My first craft beer was an Anchor Porter in 1983, and it changed my world. So, and definitely not what you think of when you think of a traditional London porter, but it's what changed me to craft beer.
Man, I wish I had some. You guys make it sound so delicious.
Well, Chris, when you get back home, Christopher, this is another one that's out in the stores. This is available in Michigan.
Speaking of Christopher, he's been awfully quiet. Christopher is not in Michigan with us. He's on the West Coast in the Pacific Northwest. And even though we are reviewing Southwest Michigan beers, I would like to give Chris to give you an opportunity. Is there something out there that you have that you're drinking that you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, because I went local, and when I say local, I mean like maybe a few miles away, and apparently pick something that you can find the brewery on the internet, but the beer, I mean, the best you're finding is your things on like your Beer Advocate and your Untappd, but it is from Trickster's Brewing Company in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. If you don't know where that is, it's pretty much, it's kind of like a suburb of Spokane, Washington. Spokane's right on the border with Idaho. Coeur d'Alene's right on the other side.
And that's really nice there, isn't it? They're a big lake.
Yeah, everyone always talks about Idaho. All you think about is potatoes. And nobody, the license plate mentions it, but no one else seems to mention the insanely beautiful scenery that is in northern Idaho. Like, it's like green mountains and blue lakes, and Idaho's where the Rockies end. So, I mean, or at least the American Rockies. So, I mean, you got, you know, all that scenery. It's crazy, insanely beautiful. It's kind of part of the country people kind of write off. And if you haven't been there, I recommend going there because you can get some Hops on Parade, which is what I am drinking. I noticed, JR, while you were talking about the hazy IPAs, I poured mine a little bit ago. We're somewhere in between amber and orange with the color. And, you know, I've had plenty of West Coast IPAs that you can see through that are clear. This, yet while the light's getting through, I mean, you can't tell what is on the other side of this glass. So this one's kind of hazy as well. It's got some, I have my 22-ounce Jack in the Box cup, by the way. It's the best I could do, but it's better than the hotel cups. This is the cup my iced coffee was in earlier. We rinsed it out, so it gets 22 ounces in it too.
But life on the road.
Yeah, I know, right? Lacing's even with plastic glass, lacing looks really nice. The aroma is you get grapefruit, but then you taste it, and there really is no grapefruit. It's malt in front, the hops kick in and back. It's almost really kind of muted, really, with the aroma that you get. You're expecting, I guess, maybe more of a citrus taste, and it just kind of mellows out. And it's 9% and 99 IBUs, and it's for both of those stats, this is pretty drinkable. That's Trickster Brewing Company. The best information I can get for you is on the bottle. It says, "Join the craft beer revolution with Hops on Parade, a double India pale ale that is malty with hops to match, Simcoe focused." And that is it. I can tell you TricksterBrewing.com, but this beer is not on the website. But I'm gonna remember this beer. I'm gonna remember this place. Make sure I stop in there. heading south tomorrow, but when I come back this way, I'll definitely stop into the tap room and check it out.
One quick question, and I don't know, is there a date on the bottle? Just wondering if how fresh it might be. Because that could be maybe why the flavor doesn't match the aroma, just reaching here, I don't know.
There is nothing on the bottle. I can get a 10-cent refund in a few states.
Yeah, if you're bringing home, right?
Yeah, there's a Seinfeld episode.
Newman.
Yeah, there's no date on it. It was a 22 ounce I picked up in the local bottle shop here.
All right. Well, it sounds like you're enjoying it, and that's really all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks for sharing a faraway beer from Idaho with us. I don't think we've ever had an Idaho beer on the show.
There you go. Let's mark another state off the map.
So does anybody have anything else from Tapestry?
If not, no, I just had the Peck Porter, and I'm still enjoying that.
Oh, same here. I got plenty of that, and it's going quick. So what I'd like to do is have Nate tell us about his newest venture and what's going on with Beer Church Brewing in New Buffalo, Michigan. So Nate, why don't you tell us what you got on tap for us?
So we'll be located in New Buffalo. It's called Beer Church because it is located in an old church. I believe the church was built in 1835. So we're going through a lot of interesting things, trying to renovate a building from that era. But we felt that it was appropriate and wanted to keep the architecture, wanted to save that building instead of having it being torn down and, you know, a pole barn or whatever, some building with less character goes up. So we're currently under renovations doing that right now. We're shooting for November-ish. I know a lot of breweries throw out dates and things before they open, so that's the best I can give it this time. It's looking pretty good. We're gonna be a brew pub. We're not doing any distribution or anything like that. We want people to, if they want our beer, they're gonna have to come and get it. My owners and I just feel that a brew pub works a lot better because you avoid distribution. You don't have to worry about how old that beer is on the shelf. You don't have to worry about selling the quantities and things like that in far-flung regions of the state. We want to be able to maintain that quality. So we're actually shooting for about 3 to 4 core brands. We're going to do an IPA called Pontius Pilate, and it will be a New England-style IPA. We're also going to be doing it a little bit different. We're going to kind of lower the alcohol. We're looking at about 6% and 60 IBUs. We just want to be able to have that repeat pint and not, you know, have one or two and then you're done because it's, you know, 9,000% alcohol and the IBUs kind of match that alcohol. So we're looking for that really big juice bomb fruit forward IPA flavor profile. We're also going to be doing a cream ale called Crooked Cross. And a little bit of a different take on that. We're going to be using that same yeast strain. Our house yeast strain is actually that Heady Topper yeast strain, essentially. And that will be in all of our core brands. So it'll add a little bit of a peach flavor to it. And we're also, for the flavoring hops, we're going to use Cascade as well to kind of accentuate that peach flavor in there and give it a little bit of citrus on top of it. So a little bit different take on a cream ale so that people that are looking for something lighter, you know, it's still approachable enough, but people that have been drinking craft beer probably still have enough flavor in there to keep them interested and have them order a pint of it as well. And then we're going to always have a double IPA on tap. We're going to kind of rotate quarterly through that. It'll never be the same, so we won't have, you know, this quarter it's this one, this quarter it's this one. We'll always have one on. It'll just rotate. It'll depend. It could be, you know, black rye IPA. It could be whatever, but it'll be something different. And then being a brew pub, we're only going to have a 7-barrel system, so we'll be able to rotate through a lot of different styles and be able to at least keep things fresh and unique and use a lot of local ingredients, and that's something that I'm really looking forward to.
Well, so am I. I guess the only thing that I don't like to hear is that you won't be distributing, but that's only because I'm selfish and can't get the beer out here in the east side of the state.
Oh, there's plenty of beer.
I guess we'll just have to make a road trip.
well, and I'll be popping in as soon as you're open because that's an overnight area for me every 3 weeks. So you might see a lot more of me, maybe more than you want to.
That's all right. Well, we need customers as a brew pub, so more people the merrier.
And I will be asking you to mule back growlers when I can't make it out there myself. That really sounds sounds exciting about that, the New England style that you're telling me about. And I also thought the cream ale was interesting that you're going to use the heady topper yeast. I believe that's the Conan strain.
Yeah, it's labeled a little bit differently because we're using Giga yeast. I think they call it Northeast IPA, okay. Or Vermont IPA, excuse me. But yes, it's essentially the heady topper strain.
Well, all those sound exciting. I can't wait to try them, and just wanted to wish you the best of luck in your venture, and let you know that we can't wait to be among the first people to come out and visit you.
Well, I appreciate that. Well, also, I should add, we're going to have a wood-fired oven and be doing pizzas, and then as a brew pub, we'll actually be able to carry liquor and wine as well, so should be an all-around nice destination to actually get a bite to eat and get some good beer, hopefully.
Sounds fantastic. Can't wait till you open. So let me ask you.
I can't wait either.
Let me ask you. Some of you know I teach a class at Schoolcraft College in Livonia, and we have our own on-campus brewery to train brewers in. I just wanted to ask you a little bit about how challenging is it to get licensed and inspected and all the stuff that I teach my students. Has that been a long road, or has it been pretty seamless getting all that red tape taken care of?
It just depends. A lot of it is on zoning and things like that. You know, different municipalities are going to have different requirements. You know, as a brew pub, you'll fall under Department of Health instead of Department of Ag if you're a microbrewer license. So those can be quite a bit different in how they handle things. For the most part, it's not too bad. It helps to have someone that has been through some of that process before. I know a lot of guys and gals are homebrewers, and they kind of use that experience. And, you know, some of those things can be beneficial, but sometimes that's hard because you haven't seen those things before. You know, most of it's pretty self-explanatory. It's just time-consuming. And it's a lot of paperwork and reading through and making sure that you're doing everything to the letter of the law.
And what would you say, when did you first start the process of licensing Beer Church? How long has it been from, the first step taken until actually you open the doors from start to finish?
Well, the two owners I had had started the process before they had brought me on board. But that's probably about, I would say, almost 3 years now. Wow. There's a huge federal backlog just due to the amount of microbreweries coming up. So you can pretty much expect that to get your federal license is going to take about a year, year and a half. Even from
that would be the brewer's notice.
Correct. Yeah. And then you have to get bonded and everything else and insured on top of that. But a lot of that stuff is just really time consuming. And then you have to have everything built out before you can come in and have inspections come in. So, you know, if there's any kind of construction delay and it's not meeting up with one of, you know, like your electrical could throw off your plumbing and vice versa. And a lot of those things just end up adding more and more time. You know, I hear a lot of people saying they're going to start a brewery in a year. And I'd say that your most, you know, ideal time is going to be, you know, 2 to 4 years usually from concept to actual fulfillment of opening your doors.
Yeah, so you're speaking my language. I deal with opening businesses for what I do for a living. And I can only imagine when you have to toss alcohol and the federal government in the mix, how much longer it makes everything take. I mean, when my guys end up dealing with the SBA instead of private lenders, it makes the process take, you know, much longer. So, yeah, must be super fun. It's a lot of moving at other people's speed, isn't it?
Absolutely. You just have to be patient, I think, is the biggest thing. And just, you know, try to, you know, I tell everyone, even with when they're trying to acquire money and everything else, just tack on another, you know, at least 30 to 50% onto everything that you think is going to cost X amount. And same with your time, just add on double what you think something's going to take. That way you're not pushing to get open or doing things wrong just to get doors open. You know, just be patient and you'll get open and, you know, you'll have good beer, hopefully.
Thanks for that insight. I'll be sure to pass that on to my students. A lot of them have aspirations of one day opening their own brewery, and it certainly doesn't happen overnight. It must be a real exciting feeling to know that you're only, you know, 30 to 60 days out from finally being able to open your doors.
Yes, I can't wait to get the doors open and get some customers in there. It's been a little bit of a journey, you know, especially, like I said, for my owners that have been working on it for years now. So I'm sure they'll be doubly excited to get those doors open.
You got a website?
We do. I believe it's beerchurchbrewing.com.
All right.
And Nathan, how do you find, you know, you guys, obviously all your neighbors know you're doing this. You know, other breweries in the area know you're doing this. How's the reception been from other people? You're getting a helping hand and that sort of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. There's, you know, people have talked about it, you know, at length, but there's definitely a camaraderie in the brewing industry, and most people are willing to help each other. You know, if you're short a bag of grain, or, you know, you couldn't save your yeast for some reason, but somebody else has it, you know, they're willing to trade back and forth a little bit, you know. And overall, the reception's been really well. People are really excited to try some of my beers. They like the beers at Tapestry, so they're looking forward to seeing what I will do at Beer Church. And I will say that it's going to be quite a bit different than the beers I did at Tapestry, just so I don't step on their toes a little bit. But also, I want to branch out and do other things. And we're just going to try to be as creative as possible, but at that same time, try to make the best beer possible.
Well, I have no doubt you will be successful, and really want to thank you for coming on the podcast, because you are our first professional brewer guest. So,
professional,
very honored to have you on.
and you know, Nathan, it's funny because I feel like you and I have traveled in parallel universes for a lot of years. I am a very rare soul to say that I have sold Sand Creek in my professional career before. Not many people can say that, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, that would be pretty exclusive outside of some of the contracts we did and things like that. But yeah, that is a rare coincidence for sure. Well, Nate, were you able to have a Noir by chance when you were doing that?
I did not. No. There was some.
The first recipe I did for Sand Creek, actually, it was a black Belgian barley wine.
But I can tell you this much, the Sand Creek lemonade went over really well in areas of Lakeview and downtown Chicago, places you wouldn't have expected it. And had the situation been different between companies and whatever happens in an industry that, you know, it's out of your control, it's out of my control, I think it could have gone a different route. But quite frankly, that was one of the best hard lemonades I'd ever had before. And most people that I sampled it on said the same thing.
I would agree with that for sure. I still have nightmares about making it, but
yeah, not to bring up a sore subject. But
it's not really. There's a lot to it, is all.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm thrilled about Beer Church. I mean, we're Southwest Michigan, and there's so many places that, you know, you could sort of include into this kind of very, it's not a very large area, square footage wise, but, you know, you've got a brewery like, correct me if I'm saying this wrong, Livery?
The Livery, yeah.
The Livery, okay. And you've got Round Barn. And you've got, just a little bit up the coast, you've got Saugatuck, which does phenomenal things. You've got stuff in Pawpaw. You've got stuff on the other side of there. And then you start to get into Kalamazoo, and that's an episode for another day. But even just a little bit up the road there is Virtue Cider, which is Greg Hall from Goose Island. And, you know, just so many cool things happening in Southwest Michigan.
I agree. And there's actually two more in the immediate area. Watermark is in Stevensville, and they just opened up. And then Cultivate is actually probably about 3 miles outside of Bridgman as well.
Wow. I mean, that's it. It really is starting to be a mecca of beer, brewing, wineries, cider houses. It's exciting. I mean, but you know what? If Transportation is a problem, and that's a fruit capital where you live, hey, why not build everything around where it's close? Now, I did have one more question for you, Nate. How about local sourcing? Are you kind of taking advantage of anybody locally? Or not taking advantage, but are you partnered up with somebody locally that maybe sources of grain? I know there's some hop farms down there as well. Just curious as to what you're doing in that venue.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, actually, Hophead Farms has an extension that is in Baroda, and they're growing a bunch of hops out there, and they have a processing facility that they're only about a year in, so it's going to take a couple years before they actually get a good quantity out of there. But we're definitely looking at that. I mean, being right up the road, Pilot Malt House out of Grand Rapids is close enough. I think they're Grand Ledge, but they actually grow barley in Niles. So I'm looking at maybe doing like a Michigan Saison where it's wheat, barley, all within Berrien County, hops from Hophead Farms that are in Baroda. And I would like to try to capture a yeast strain, outside of maybe in a vineyard or something in Bridgman or New Buffalo or somewhere around there, just so I can have an all Michigan beer from top to bottom, and then just rotate some seasonal fruits through that and things like that too. And just really showcase, not just because, you know, you hear a lot of people say, hey, I use this or whatever. We really want it to be the forward flavor of that beer and be able to really express it as a Michigan beer and not just to have it be a tagline that it's, you know, that we use Michigan, you know, ingredients. We really think that some of those are some of the finest ingredients you'll get, and really do want to, you know, put those at the forefront and showcase them.
Man, I'm salivating. I can't wait.
Yeah, might have to have a beer nuts road trip for that one when you open up.
Oh, make sure you get a hotel room.
Oh, that's mandatory. No doubt.
So, Nate, one last question. What's the closest exit to 94? Are you off exit 1? Are you off exit? Is it 6?
I believe it's 6, and I knew you guys
it's
were going to ask
6.
That.
All right.
Yeah.
Because I look at it this way. When I'm driving, all right, 1 is my quickest way to Burnham. 12 is Greenbush. And is it 16? That's Tapestry and yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so I mean, I think it's exit 4, but it's right there regardless. I mean, it's one of your first exits coming out of Chicago on 94 or Indiana. I mean, depending on how you look at it, where you're coming from. But I mean, and we're probably only a couple miles from that exit too. And you can also come down one of the other, because it's actually right downtown. It's on Whitaker Street. So it's right up the road from Stray Dog.
Oh, okay. All right. You see those billboards all over 94. So, and that's absolutely, that's an iconic place that now they've burned down. They rebuilt it. Is that correct?
That I do not know. I do know that they are very busy. That's like a 2-hour wait in the summer at times. It gets crazy.
Oh man. Yeah. You get that up in a St. Joe too, off of Silver Beach and
absolutely
yeah, like that. I mean, it just is. Wow. But that's why we're talking Beercation. I mean, if the beaches are so beautiful over there, the beach in St. Joe, the beach at Warren Dunes, I mean, they're just spectacular.
All right. So are we going to do Beer of the Week, Brewery of the Week? Yes, no, maybe?
I think we can try.
We haven't had a beer from Beer Church, but I'm just going to call that the Brewery of the Week now because I can't wait to
Well, anyway. Yeah, we can do that. But then yeah, Beer of the Week.
Hey, Beer of the Week, we'll let Dugout, you go first.
All right. Oh, boy. Hex Porter is, like, spot on. That's what a porter should be. But I can't. And Hop Drink's not even up there with either of the other two. But I got to think Cabra Perdida with the blueberries, and that it's just that mix of that beer. It's not just that it's a blueberry stout, it's that blueberry stout, and the shit kicks ass. So yeah, that's my Beer of the Week. Cabra Perdida.
Voted against it, but I have to be difficult and take the transient obligatory can't tell you how much I enjoyed it. I enjoy every beer I had tonight was a 5-star. So I'm going to vote for Transient Obligatory of the beers I tasted tonight just because I can. So I guess I don't even know if we have a way to break a tie. So
yeah, I was going to say we should call it a tie because I cannot vote. I've had none of these beers.
All right, well, so be it. We have a tie.
Oh, well, I think it's only like the second one ever.
It's all right. It's hard when you have almost every beer. You know, every beer that I tasted was worthy.
Hey, what we're saying is if you have either beer that was picked tonight, everyone's a winner. That's where we're going with that, right?
I happen to agree with you. Everyone's a winner tonight. It's first, second, third place. In sitting where I am, I know it was a tough decision on number one, but I just was jealous of what JR had. I really wanted to try that too. So,
well,
I might have had that, and it swayed my mind. But I don't know. Cabra Perdida is just pretty awesome.
I think we make that Southwest Michigan trip and try all these again. Because they're all winners.
Absolutely. And,
I do have one last question for Nate. Where is that closest hotel to Beer Church?
I believe there is one. I'm trying to remember the name of it, but it's no more than 2 or 3 miles. It is in New Buffalo. So.
All right.
Well, and JR, just get a hold of me because I know the whole hotel scene down there. I stay there every 3 weeks. I move around a bunch. I know where to and where not to.
Okay, well, Nate, we look forward to visiting you, and best of luck with Beer Church. I'm sure it'll be great, and we'll be there soon. We'll be there shortly after.
Yeah, Nate, pleasure. I mean, it's great to talk with you here, and so looking forward to Beer Church. You know, I'm going to be down there in a couple weeks. You and I had chatted briefly about a beer I was brewing a week ago. Double IPA, and I put that crazy honey stuff in it.
Yeah, I do recall.
Yeah, that stuff's in dry hop right now. Should be ready about 2 weeks. I'll be down there in 3. So I'll get in touch with you, and we can try that stuff out.
Twist my arm. I'm always down
for sharing. All right. Yeah, I'm always down for sharing, too. So.
Well, and also, right. As our first ever guest, you do get a parting gift. You get a MichiganBeerGuy.com tulip glass. So we'll make sure when we come visit you, we bring that to you.
That is our gift to you.
And to our listeners, just go to MichiganBeerGuy.com and click on Win This Glass. Tweet us out. And you could also be the winner. We've got 5 left, and one's Nate's now, so we got 4 left.
Oh,
get them while you can.
Close. Oh, somebody broke one too, right? Did that get replaced?
Right. Well, we have 3 left.
We have 3 left. That was you, Christopher, right?
I did not break it. Yes, it was broken.
But I mean, it was in your care and it was broken.
This is true.
We will have the coveted MichiganBeerGuy.com glass for you, Nate. Thank you very much for taking the time to come on with us. Well, we can't wait to visit you out there in New Buffalo.
All right, thank you very much. Appreciate it, gentlemen.
All right, guys. Well, I think it's time to... Anybody, any last comments before we go to Mexico?
I was going to tell everyone, thanks to all the new listeners who found us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, OrchestraMedia.net. Follow us on Twitter at BeerNutsPodcast, on Instagram at BeerNutsPodcast, or you can email the show, BeerNutsPodcast@ChristopherMedia.net. With that being said, JR, I believe, we're heading south of the border.
As they say in old Mexico City,
AMF.
If you enjoy this show and want more people to know about it, head on over to iTunes, leave a comment, and rate it 5 stars. Make sure you like and share us on Facebook, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Just search for Christopher Media. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. Most importantly, we would like to take the time to extend an extra special thanks to you. Christopher Media could not exist without your support. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net, and thank you for listening. Christopher Media. Let's make some noise. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.